what did James say to Jude in Jude? He said, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles and of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, we must remember that Peter was pointing them to God's word. He said, look at the prophets before and then look at the apostles right now. He's pointing them back to God's word. And why are he pointing them back to them? Is the apostles have anything special within themselves? Not at all. How about the last prophets? Not at all. Peter tells us why we can hang on what these men say. Look at us, chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 21. Why can we hang on what these prophets and apostles says? He says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by who? The Holy Spirit. We have the inspired direct revelations, word of God in our hands right here, folks. We should be searching this daily, day in and day out. See, the people in Peter times, they were struggling. They were facing opposition from false prophets. First thing that he wanted to remind them is say, I want to stir up your pure mind. I want to point you back to what the prophet said and the apostle says, the word of God. I want to point you back there. As we look and as we are faced with specific things in this world, we need to be searching God's word daily, recalling scripture. Remember, it should awaken us. Just last week, I was at a nonprofit organization I volunteer for on the weekends. And several churches come in for this program, and we give the gospel, and we also provide meals to people. So I remember this one couple that's a part of the, one of the churches, they went away for about a month. And I remember they texted me and said, you know, we'll be back on Saturday. So I said, well, praise the Lord. I couldn't wait to see them when they came back. So when they came back, I remember the wife and the husband came, and the wife was so excited about her vacation. And she was telling me, we had a great time on vacation. And I was just thinking about, like, she's going to tell me about how blue the sky is, how it's 80 degrees down there, and it's super hot up here, it's super cold, and I'm just going to be mad just hearing about it. But she went a whole completely different direction. She was excited about learning about the Word of God. She said, we went down there, and the first thing I told my husband is that we have to find a church while we're down here on vacation. And when they found that church when they were on vacation, she said, we met the pastor. The pastor actually started to have Bible study with us down here. And he started taking us through 1 Timothy. And I'm starting to learn so much about a wife role when it comes to a husband. And she said, for years, I did not know and understand. And it was always me and my children first. And it was this and it was that. And she was just like, it's right there. And I'm just like, wow. And it was, this pastor took the time to actually walk with her and show her God's word. And she told her husband, when we come back up here, we got to go find another church. She was telling me, she said, my sister came to my church, got baptized, and not speaking bad about the church, I don't know the church. And this is what she was telling me. And she said, you know, they joined the church, not Bible study, they didn't have, you know, specific things, and eventually they fell away. And she's like, I was amazed how this pastor came after me and this church came after me to show me God's word. She said, I want to be fed. I want to be in God's word. These people had just retired. And they are learning what's already been there, but they were excited about God's word. We need to be in God's words day in and day out. It does not matter how old we are, how young we are. We need to be searching God's word daily. Amen? Amen. I want to read you a quote from a pastor, R.C. Rowell. It says, what is the best safeguard against false teachers? Beyond all doubt, the regular study of the Word of God with prayer for the teaching of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is given to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And he quotes Psalms 119, 105. Then he goes on and says, the man who reads it aright will never be allowed greatly to err. It is a neglect of the Bible which makes so many pray to the first false teacher whom they hear. They would have us believe that they are not learned and do not pretend to have decided opinions. The plain truth is that they are lazy and idle about reading the Bible and do not like the trouble of thinking for themselves. Nothing supplied false prophets with followers so much as spiritual sloth under a cloak of humility. We need to be in God's words, folks. And I know that you are. Let me ask you a question. Are you in God's words daily? Your devotion, Sunday school, Bible study, before you go to bed at night? For me, I know I need to be in it more. So let's move along. So we need to stay in God's word and to be mindful of these false prophets. And this leads me to our next significance of Christ's return, which is to be mindful of false teachers. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. We're going to stay here for just a minute because I think this is like the crux of the message, and we're going to just be here for a second. It's just knowing this first, that scoffers, or that word scoffer meaning teachers, will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. They will come walking according to their own lust. Peter describes these false teachers very, very well in chapter 2. I mean, he takes an entire chapter to warn people about false teachers, a little bit in chapter 3 and a little bit in chapter 1, but the entire chapter 2. So I want you guys to flip over to chapter 2 because this is what he's saying. Be mindful of false teachers. We have to be on the lookout for them. So we could turn to chapter 2 because we're just going to go down through each one of these verses and just walk through the character of these false teachers. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, coming in with their own gospel and denying the Lord who brought them and bringing on themselves swift destruction. And you know, the sad part about it is, in the next verse, he says, and many will follow their destructive ways. How many times we see that in the world today? And it's because of whom the way of truth or the way of God will be blasphemed, or they will speak evil of. And then in verse 3, it says, by covetousness, or that word means to be greediness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, the judgment has not been idle and destruction does not slumber. Skip down to verse 10. Let's just continue to look at the character of these people. And it says, especially those who walk or their lifestyle according to the flesh, especially those whose lifestyle is according to the flesh of lust, of uncleanness and despise authority. It gets better and better, doesn't it? And then moving along, he says they are presumptuous, or that word meaning they are daring, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of people that are against, that are in a position of the ministry dignitaries. And then look at 12. It says, but these, and look how he describes them even more, they are like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. And then in 13 it says, and will receive the wages of righteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse or to live in luxury in the daytime. They are spots, he says, and blemishes, living in luxury in their own deception. And where are they at? He says, they feast with you, These false prophets, these people were among the people in Peter's days, sitting right among them. In the universal church today, we see so many false prophets sitting among the people of God. Amen? And we shouldn't see that. And then in 2:14 it says, they were having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, and they entice unstable souls. They have a heart trained, it says, in greediness, and they are accursed children. You say, why am I going through this? Because this is important to know and understand these false prophets. And then in 15, he says, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Belial, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. They have gone after idols. This is a graphic picture of false prophets. And again, if you look around, you look on TV, we see this in our church today. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of the title Deconstruction of Your Faith? Anybody? Okay, we have one. Well, let me explain it to the rest of you. Deconstruction of your faith, be on the lookout for it. It's not good, right? It's not good at all. So what deconstruction of your faith for? It's inside of the Christian community. This is what new false teachers are coming up with and saying, this is how you evaluate your faith. So deconstruction of your faith starts with and says, let me take in everything that I have learned and known about Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, about the Bible, about the specific things. You know, you go through all the theologies in the Bible. Let me walk down each one of them and see where I stand at. Let me see how I feel. Let me see what I think. And as I feel and think about these things, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start in my mind pulling out things that I don't feel that fits me. And then what I think that's not true, I'm going to shift it away to somewhere else. So my feelings and my thoughts is going to make me take what truth is and throw it out. And then whatever I'm left with, that's where I stand. And if I rebuild my faith, I rebuild it the way I want to. Or I build it in a different way. Am I kind of close to how that is? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm on the right track. So thank you. So here, I was looking at this video about this young lady that actually went through this destruction of faith. Joshua Harris, one of the pastors that I mentioned earlier, he was one of them that actually, in the process of writing a book, were actually following this way of deconstruction of your faith. So this young lady went and deconstructed her faith. And as he deconstructed her faith, she realized to say, you know what? When I started to think about the family structure and how that's going to impact my life, as a woman, I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be a mother. I don't want to be a wife. I don't want to be told about specific things. The Bible is ancient. I want to move forward to what I think and feels right. That's amazing, isn't it? And these people are in the church circle. We have to be mindful, folks, because false teachers are not just outside of those doors speaking against God, but they are in our own house speaking against them. And then not only that, false teachers, they mock the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 4. So they have treacherous characters. They deny the Lord. They speak against him. And not only that, they mock him. In 2 Peter 3, 4, it says, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. For they willfully forget, as Peter says, or they were determined that by the word of God, they forgot that by the word of God that the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then exists perishes, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved, as verse 7, by that same word are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and prediction or destruction of the ungodly. They said, where are the promise? And Peter just wells them right away from the beginning. He says they willfully forgot that God created everything. Next week, you guys are going to be back in Colossians chapter 15 through 20. That's where you guys are going to pick back up at. Well, just turn there for a second, because we're going to see how they willfully forgot what Colossians says in chapter 1, verse 15. God, Peter says that by which the world that exists, they willfully forget that the heavens were of old and that the earth was standing out of water and in water. That's what he said in 2 Peter 3, 5. And these false prophets willfully forget that God created everything. But in Colossians 1, 15, it says, he is the invisible God and the firstborn over all creations. For by him, how many things? All things were created that were in heaven and where? In earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for what? For him. These false prophets willfully forget it, that by the word of God, everything was created. And that same word, Peter says in 2 Peter, you can flip back over to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. By that same word, by which the world that then exists perishes, being flooded by water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and prediction or destruction unto the ungodly. So God created, they forgot that the Lord created the heavens and the earth. He created all things. They forgot to mention that all things wasn't the same, that there was a flood, that the Lord flooded the earth on the ungodly. And that same word of God is going to come back and destroy the earth on the ungodly. They willfully forgot that. How many times a day that people are just idled? Or you just hear people out there that does not believe in the existence that God created the heavens and the earth. When we look at scientists, you know, one of the things that I look and I've seen is, anybody see Case for Christ by Lee Strobel? Well, that's a good movie. It's a lawyer that he pretty much was an atheist, and I believe his wife was saved. You guys may correct me after I see the movie, but I'm trying to remember some of it. So pretty much was Lee Strobel was this lawyer, and he did not believe in Christ. And he wanted to prove to his wife and prove to everybody that Christ did not exist. And he went through everything. And throughout the movie, he started to build a case. He started to talk to doctors and lawyers, and he started to talk to spiritual leaders and start talking to everybody. But the main thing is, he was in the Word of God, continued to search scriptures, and eventually he got saved. And I said, amen. He got saved. See, when you are in the Word of God, you cannot forget about God has created the heavens and the world. When you look out there today, folks, and see the sun going up and down, you see the trees just by the natural things of this world. We see that God's creations. You know, and Peter's saying, Look at the flood. It happened. Things weren't from the beginning. Things didn't stay the same. That God created the heavens and the earth. He created the world, and the world was ungodly, and God wiped away the ungodly. He reminded them back in the chapter before of that. Peter reminds them of things over and over again. If you notice when you read 2 Peter, it's the same things that he's talking about. He wanted to stir up their minds and remind them and saying, look, this is real deal here. And not only that, God is coming back. I like Psalms 33:6. It says, you don't have to turn there for the sake of time. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And in Psalms 33:9, I love this verse. It says, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We must be mindful. These people are here today. They have no idea. They're sitting still and not even knowing that the Lord is coming back. We need to be mindful of false teachers because they are out to deceive us, but the Lord is coming back. Amen. Revelation 3:11 tells us that. It says, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have that no one take your crown. Let me pose another question to you today. When you think about false teachers, ask yourself, what do my circle of friends look like? What am I listening to on the radio, TV, Facebook, or Instagram? It may be frightening to think, but what about even in your own family? To be open, I have false teachers and people that don't believe in the Lord in my family. We need to be mindful, knowing that God has, that all things are not where they were from the beginning, and that the Lord created the heavens and the earth, and that there will come a time where not only that the flood happened, that the world will come to an end as predicted. So as we be mindful for false teachers, we will come to the last days to be mindful of how patient the Lord is, which I believe is one of my main significant points. Let's look back at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And I promise I'm going to get you guys out of here on time. So it says, my last point is the Lord is not slow to come back, but is patient for the lost to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, but beloved, do not forget or be ignorant or unaware of this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The first thing he says is, well, not the first thing, he said, beloved, do not forget this one thing. We here today should not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is of 1,000 years and 1,000 years as of one day. They really thought the Lord was just sitting back, just being idle. So many people sit back today and it's just like, he ain't coming back. See, we have to remember that God is not on our time. We are on God's time. And God is outside of time. We can't calculate and sit back and think and say, oh, well, it's been 20 years, it's been 30 years. When I think about the so many children that lost their lives in Texas this past week, my heart was just sinking. And I was just thinking, like, wow, it would just be wonderful for the Lord to come back right now. And these people are going through so many things, and it's just so hard, and times are getting worse and worse. But God is outside of time. It's not about what I think or about when I think he's coming back. It's when he wants to come back. Amen. We have to remember these things. I have to remember these things. And then he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not slow, as the King James says, concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but as long-suffering, or he is patient, not willing that any should perish, but all comes to repentance. I read that twice because the false prophets back in Peter's days thought that the Lord was just idle, sitting around, and he's not coming back. And Peter was talking to the Christians, and he just wanted to remind his brethren that when he says, beloved, that he's long-suffering, waiting for people to get saved. Long-suffering. Just think about it. Each and every one of you in this room was saved at a different age. Some at 5, some at 10, some at 15, some at 20, some at 30, some at 40, some at 50, some at 60. Each and every point, one of you guys heard the gospel and was saved. Amen? Each and every one of us. Hebrews 10:37 says, for yet a little while, and he shall come and will not tardy. See, the Lord was not delayed. He was not delayed. He was not idle, as some of the people in the world believe that he is. Second Peter, look at 2 Peter 3:15. Peter reminds them this at the end of the letter. He reminds them of why and how the Lord is long-suffering. He says, and consider that the long-suffering of the long-suffering, or the patience of the Lord, is what? Salvation. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. He is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Just this past week, I was at work, and one of my employees approached me and asked if another employee could get off. And I'll tell you why. And, you know, and the reason was like, I was like, okay, he can get off. So he began to tell me the story leading up to that. So he was telling me about a family with a young man at the age of 25. Him and his parents was actually sitting in the living room. And the young man was healthy. He had a liver transplant probably about 2 years ago, and he was doing fine. He was healthy, and they say he was a really lively young man. And they were sitting in the living room, and it was about, I believe it was about 6:30 in the evening, that he went upstairs. The young man that was 25 years old went upstairs. So the father and the mother were sitting downstairs, and they were sitting there, and after a while, time went past. And when time went past, the father said, let me go and check on my son. So he goes upstairs in a room and checks on his son. And when he opened the door, he found his son in a prayer position. And he went over to, you know, I believe to ask his son something. And as he got closer, he realized his son had passed. His son had passed away in the prayer position as he left this world. And when I thought about that, the first thing came to my mind was, amen. But then shortly after, I realized that he was a Muslim. That man, as far as we know, or as far as I know, did not come to the repentance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the biggest tragedy to me of the story. Because if he was praying to God, knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sins and he accepted him as his personal Savior, that story would have been sad, but the family would have been rejoicing that he was in heaven. Let me ask you a question. When you see your neighbor, co-worker, family member who is unsaved, do you say, I need to tell them about the gospel one day? The Lord is patient, not wishing that any should perish. Why am I idled when I see these people, not with a rush or urgency to tell them about salvation of the Lord? I wonder if someone could have talked to this young man before he passed away, or if someone did talk to this young man. The urgency, if it was, where would he be at today? We should be taking every moment to tell someone the gospel. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The Lord is coming back. Are you giving the gospel to the unlost? I don't take for granted that everyone is saved sitting here in this room today. So if you don't know the Lord as Savior, as your personal Savior, you can be assured of your salvation today, knowing that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and there's no, not one perfect, but God. We are saved by grace alone and by faith alone, and if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. We need to know and understand the gospel and the significance of Christ's return. So this week, when you are thinking about the significance of Christ's return, I want you to be mindful to stay in God's word. I want you to be mindful of false teachers, beloved, and be mindful of how patient God is for people to be saved. I wonder if the men I mentioned in the beginning of this message was mindful of these things, would they still be following the Lord? I leave you with Acts 20, if we can all turn there. Acts 20, verses 29 to 32. It says, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn you every day, everyone, night and day, with tears. So now, brethren, beloved, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Thank you. God bless you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father God, Lord, we come to you again today, Lord, just thanking you, Lord, for these wonderful truths, Father God. We thank you and we anticipate your coming back. We know that you are coming back. We believe your promise. Lord, as we leave here today, Lord, let us be mindful, Lord, to stay in your word, to be seeking it diligently, Father, and to, Lord, to be mindful of false teachers. And Lord, just be mindful, first of all, how patient you were for us to come to repentance, and be mindful that, Lord, that you are waiting for those around that's unsafe to come to repentance as well. Let us go out this week, Lord, and to preach the gospel, Father God, and to share your word to the lost. Lord, bless the holiday and the times, Lord, for each and every one of these people that's here today. And Lord, I pray for Barbara and Jeff that's having physical problems, Lord, that you be with them if they're in the hospital. And Father, be with their families, comfort their minds, and comfort their hearts. And Lord, I don't want to assume. I pray that they are, and it seems as though that they are believers, that they continue to cling on to your word and to, Lord, to hold fast. Lord, thank you for allowing me to sit amongst other brothers and sisters in Christ this day, Lord, and to fellowship and to share God's word. So, Lord, we pray for safety as we leave here today, and we thank you. I ask you all these things in Christ's name.